and turn to the book of Esther. Turn to the book of Esther. We began to, well, we started to finish up chapter 3, talking about how the world's laws are not our laws. And boy, that's the truth. I've seen a couple of specials, and I know not everybody likes this particular president. I really do. I think he's been the best president in my lifetime, was President Reagan. And they were showing a special on him, and I'm not talking about the political part of it, but I'm talking about how people talked back then in the 80s compared to how they talk today. We have gone down a slippery slope so fast. The amount of movement that we have made to the left, towards liberalism, from back in the 80s to today is incredible to me. Just the vernacular back then, I remember hearing those words, and then today, it's just amazing to me how far we've moved. But understand this, what I love about the thought process, and I'm not saying that everything was all biblical back then, because believe me, the people of the 80s thought, oh my, how far we've moved since the 60s, okay? We've moved that far. But understand this, this law in your King James Bible has never changed. See that what's good about this is it's never changed. Man can do whatever they want to do. And by the way, that's why you have so many different versions and so many different writings about the Bible. The men have tried to put their spin on this, but the law has never changed. God's word has never changed. We can hold on to that, and I'm so very thankful for that, that that's something that we can lean on. When all of man say it's right to be a homosexual, God's word says it's not. See what I'm getting at? And I know people don't like that kind of preaching, but I don't care. I really don't. That's what the Bible says. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to stick to what the Bible says. I'm not going to kowtow to them to make them feel more comfortable about their sin. Not about their lifestyle, about their sin. By the way, we hit just as hard on alcoholics as we do about the homosexual crowd. I don't know what's got me on this thought this morning, but understand this. The world today is making who you have sex with a hero or a villain. Tell me I'm wrong. If you are a homosexual and you come out and you say, I have sex with men, they make you a hero. I don't understand why that process ever came about. See, I don't make a hero out of the guy that's a whoremonger any more than I make a hero out of the homosexual. I don't believe that all these athletes that are saying, well, I have sex with all these women, I don't believe they're any more right than the homosexual crowd. There's all sinning. And I don't like the fact that you take a drunkard, that a man that is willing to put his life in somebody else's hands and drive behind the wheel a drunkard and kill somebody in that car. I don't believe he's any better than the guy over here that's a homosexual. I believe they're all full of sin. Holding that up is my problem. Why would we ever exalt sin? And that's what we're doing. Our laws are different than their laws. As you saw in Esther, Haman says, well, their laws are different than ours, King. Should we not go against them? Listen, our laws are different, and I'm standing against them. Now, as you get into chapter 4, we see, look at verse 9 in chapter 3 real quick, and I'll get out of chapter 3. If it please the king, Haman is saying, let it be written that they may be destroyed. He's wanting to destroy all the people that are different, the Jews that are different. And by the way, boy, the Jews have fought that all of their lives. The Jewish history, everybody's always wanting to stamp out God's children, God's chosen people. Everybody's wanted to stamp them out. If nothing else, that should give you the courage and faith to believe that God is real. And if you look at this, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. If you'll allow to pass this law to kill these people, I'll pay for it. How wicked is that? Yet here we are today in this day and age, our laws being very, very different from their laws, watching money and funds be put forward to cast forward the abortion agenda, to cast forward all this agenda that would take out the religious beliefs of us. The evil being willing to pay. I'll pay to shut up those Baptists. I'll pay to shut up those Bible thumpers. It's not like it used to be. It's getting to the point where we are definitely wrong and they are definitely right. Our laws are different from their laws. If you go to chapter 4 in verse 1, Mordecai perceived all that was done. Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In other words, you can't be upset going into the king's house. Understand this. To grab a hold of what's happening here, Mordecai has come to the realization that his nation is in trouble. And if you're a Jew, you're going to be killed according to this mandate. And that mandate and decree was set forth by the king. This cannot be gone against. It is law. Back then when the king said something, that was the end. There was no discussion. It was the king. What he said went. Mordecai sees this and says, now it's time to call on my king. Amen. We are living in an age where we better start calling upon our king. Because the freedom that you feel that you have today is going away very fast. You may not believe that, and you may not like to hear that kind of thing, but it's the truth. We are losing our freedoms. I double dog dare you to go down in front of the courthouse and start preaching the Word of God. I double dog dare you. I stood on the street corner in Ravenna, Ohio, 15 years ago. Preaching the Word of God, and a police officer pulled over to the sidewalk and said, you must stop. Why? You're disturbing the peace. Well, that may be true. But understand this. The law will not afford you to have free speech. But I guarantee you, if I took the Koran down there, tell me I'm wrong. They wouldn't say a word. Free speech. See, we live in a day and age where it's become, we better go to our king. When's the last time, boy, Brother Robbie Morrison talked to me? I tell you, when the priest, I know this is a side note, but this is so good. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he wore a breastplate, ephod, all these different things. He went in with a stone that had on it every tribe from the Jewish people, all 12. It was marked on him that he went in there. Think about this. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he bore with him his nation. Boy, that's good. When's the last time, think about this for a minute, and this is not any time to be joking about this. When's the last time you prayed to God for America to go back to the right? I can't foresee in my lifetime having a good man in the president, or woman for that matter. I don't want to have a woman president, not because God has ordained men to lead. But if I can get a woman in there that's willing to be a conservative, God bless it, I'll take it. I'm not opposed to that. I don't want a woman to have to lead because men haven't done their job. That's why women are having to lead. I mean, let's be honest. It's not that women can't lead. Women shouldn't have to lead. It should be the men, but we're such patsies today, and we're not willing to go forward. The women have been placed in that forefront, they'll take it. Now, here's the thing. As we go over these future thoughts and these future things for your nation, I wonder if our Baptist brethren are praying for our nation to go back to some semblance of godliness and standards and morality. The divorce rate is down because nobody's getting married. The unemployment rate is down because nobody's filing anymore. They've been unemployed for so long, it doesn't matter. We live in a day where we must begin to pray for our nation to go back to the right. And you may say to me, well, preacher, we're going so far to the bad side. How can we ever come back to the good? That doesn't get me to stop praying. Should you stop praying for your wayward child because you don't foresee them coming back to God? How dare you? How dare you pray for your wayward child? Are you kidding me? You're telling me that there's never a time that God's going to get a hold of your child? Listen, I was saved at 11 years old. I lived like the devil for the next years. God got a hold of me, though. God got a hold of me. I've done worse things than most of your kids. God got a hold of me, and here I am preaching. You lose faith. We lose hope. We lose diligence in our prayer life about our nation. Here's this man, Mordecai, realizing that his nation is in trouble. His nation's in jeopardy. He rents his clothes in sackcloth and ashes, going before his God and his king. And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When is the last time we wept and wailed for the greatness that America used to be? Many of you are generations back. You can remember back further than I. I'm only 43. My, how we've changed in 43 years. I can imagine what Brother Carl remembers. I can imagine what you remember back in the days when you were children, back when you could walk down the street. Let me tell you, when I first moved here, this was Mayberry. It really was. I've never been in a place. My place was much, much smaller. I lived in the country. I'm a country guy. I would rather be on 10 acres of land where nobody can be around me. And here I am in the city. God's funny. But I remember this being Mayberry. We left our doors unlocked. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, nothing happened here. Since then, in the last 5 years, my car's been stolen. People have broken into my garage. We had a shooting across the street. What has happened? When have we prayed for our America? When have we prayed for things? When have we prayed that I've got to understand that we need to pray because our country is in a state of mortality. It's dying. Weeping and wailing in sackcloth and ashes, verse 4, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to close Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. I'm not going to stop praying because you give me items to satisfy that prayer. No way. I'm not going to dress up when I need to be before my God. The king's chamberlains, who had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai, verse 6, under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. By the way, I look at this and I see money destroying America too. Do you know everything rises and falls on funds? The love of money is the root of all evil. And if you watch men, and I whatever this is, God is so much bigger than money. God is so much better than money. And as we, this man pays to destroy a nation, everything we do revolves around money. Everything. Everything that mattered. Well, what kind of money would it? I've told you this before. The reason that these states on the eastern seaboard are passing laws that to promote same-sex marriage is because of the funds they will derive from doing those marriages. Forget the morality of it all. It's amazing to me how we have done these things to make money. Look at this now. In verse 8. Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Now listen, Mordecai is asking the queen, please go in and beg your king. Please go in and beg your king to make this not happen. The people that have the ability to stand up for right need to stand up for right. The preachers that have pulpits before them need to stand up and proclaim that this is what God hath said. The preachers that have the ability and the voices across America to say that this is what's right should be saying that this is what's right. Instead of church after church after church across America allowing the queer crowd and a beer crowd and every other crowd to take over their services and to do what they think is right in their eyes instead of what God hath said. It's amazing to me how we're falling back. Well, I don't go to that Baptist church. It's too boring. Well, you're in the wrong place if you think this is boring. They don't have guitars up on the front and drums and everything else, so I'm not going to stay. That God doesn't want us to worship that way. And as long as I have breath, not here. I'm an old man, thinking-wise. I want to go back to the way it was. I want to cling to the old paths where it is a good way. That's what I want to do. And it's amazing to me as you have Esther, please go beg your king. When's the last time we begged our king? And here we have Esther saying, listen, Mordecai, I'd do it. But you must understand, I haven't been called by the king to come into his presence. Aren't you glad you're never not called to go into the presence of the king? Aren't you glad there's never a time that you have to worry about a golden scepter being held out? God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Aren't you glad you have a God that loves you so very much and cares about you so very much that he's willing to extend that hand of invitation at any moment, wherever you are? You could be driving a car. Don't close your eyes and pray, but although some of you probably drive better that way. But understand this, I want us to understand that our nation is in trouble, our nation is in peril, and we should be going before our king. Esther gets this request from Mordecai. She says, man, if I go and he doesn't extend the golden scepter, I get put to death. God doesn't put any stipulations on us to come to him. We've been afforded the ability to come to the king with no... But can I help you? You don't even have to get your life right to come to the king. You can come to the king in sackcloth and ashes. You can come to the king dirty. You can come to the king sinful. You can come to the king in the midst of your worst time of your life. You can come to the king and the king tells you to come boldly. Do you understand what kind of God do you have? That's willing to have you come at any time? No fear. You're not going to find death at this throne. You'll only find life. We've got a good God. And there's days that I find myself discouraged. There's days that I find myself depressed. I tell you, just the last 2 or 3 weeks, boy, I tell you, my life has been in misery. And I don't, no big deal, not that anything, I hope and pray you don't misunderstand me. But there's times in my life that I get a little discouraged. There's times in my life I get a little depressed. I think, man, I don't understand, and I don't know why I get into that mood. But I'm so glad, we're going to talk about that this morning, I'm so glad that God doesn't shut me out because I'm that way. I'm so glad that God says, you know what, I'm still going to stick with you. I'm so glad that no matter what I'm going through, God understands that, and he says, hey, I still want you to come. Man, we've got a good God. I know no parent, like I don't like my kids to pout. I don't know about you. But I hate pouting kids. Drives me crazy. Kids have everything afforded to them. I mean, don't they? They don't do anything. Literally, my kids don't do anything. In the house, with their, they don't do anything. To have them pout drives me crazy. But how many times have I pouted to God? How many times, well, God, you didn't give me this, but you gave it to something else, somebody else, I start to pout. Boy, God's good to us. We don't have to worry. We can always go to the throne no matter how bad our life is, no matter what we're doing, what we're thinking, what our mindset is, we can still come to the throne. In this case, Esther has to fear for her very life. to go to her king. And by the way, her request is going to be for the king to reconsider a law that he's put into place, questioning the king. Look at this now. Verse 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Look at this now. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I've heard message after message preached over this. The thought that I take away from, and by the way, you could make sermon after sermon on that, just though up to there alone. But I'm trying to just think of the mindset of Esther and the mindset of Mordecai fighting for their people, literally fighting for their people to live. Mordecai willing to say, and by the way, don't you remember how Vashti was only in the very first part of this book? Queen Vashti wasn't there very long. And I remember when I talked to you about the depravity of man and how Vashti would not put up with being shown in front of these men like she was some sort of property. Let me tell you something. Women are never property. I get the biggest... Men are foul that feel that way about women. That's just horrible. And for the king to say, I'm going to command you, Vashti, to come in front... She says, no, I'm not going to do that. Vashti removes herself to be emplaced with Esther. Isn't God good? So Esther moves into the place of Vashti as queen, and Esther now is in the position, and Mordecai says, for such a time as this, God has put you in that position. Christian, I'm asking you a question. We live in this day and age. We can't go back. You can't live in another time period. You can want to live back in the golden years. You can want to live back when the church, great revivals and 6,000 people were happening. But we're here today in this time. You can't choose your time. You're now, right now today. I wonder if God puts you in this time for such a time as this. In a time when we're facing, listen, you old folks, you ought to be clamoring for reform in this country. You've seen things and gone through things that my young generation will never have to see. Good things. Man alive, my grandma went through the Depression. They were so tight with the money, the Buffalo could never even get on the nickel. My generation throws everything out. I was told the other day somebody's washer went out. And I was told that a salesman told them these washers are only supposed to last for 7 years. Why? Because we're a disposable society. You go back to my grandmother's washing machine. Well, when I was a kid, she still washed things on a board with a wringer. I don't know if you ever see, I'm sure some of you have seen those. But she would wring the clothes out and then hang them up. Clothesline. These kids don't even know what a clothesline is except an arm coming across some guy's throat as they're running. I'm going to tell you, for such a time as this, you old folks better tell your kids and your grandkids about what life was. You better tell these kids and grandkids about how life used to be. Why? So they can aspire to have that again. I'm not buying into this being the greatest generation or the most advanced generation. I think we're going backwards. I don't think we're advancing. I think we're going backwards. See, it's amazing to me. We've got kids in our schools that can't do long division. We're going backwards. Why would they ever have to do long division? They've got a calculator on every electronic device they own. Why would they have to do long division? See, I want the kids to know more. I want our generation to go back where you had intellect. The Rockefellers and Carnegies never graduated from school. Brilliant. Real intelligence. And we live in a day and age where we need to understand, Mike, we're put here for right now, today. We are not put here for yesteryear. We're put here to bring yesteryear back to life because we are here for such a time as this, right now. I'm so sick of people pining away for the past. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing, oh, well, Billy Sunday did this, and all these preachers did this, and Brother Hiles did this. I'm sick of that. We're here for now. We're not here for then. Remember what they did, glory to God, but we're put here for something different. We've got a different time to face, and this is the time we need to face it. Well, I'm not going to do anything because it's not like it used to be. That's what I'm hearing today. We can't have an 8-day tent revival. It'll make our people too tired. You know what? Get you some energy drinks and show up. For such a time as this, we need to go back to the old past because we're the people put here. God didn't put Jack Hiles today. Think about that. God didn't make Billy Sunday for now. He made you for now. He made you for now. He made Esther for that moment. That was her moment. That was God's moment for her. Jordan, he didn't make you live in the 40s. He made you live now. What are you going to do with it now? Because see, we're the people that are put here because God knows we can. Did you know God didn't put you here because you can't? Wouldn't that be dumb? God didn't put you here because you can't. God put you here because you can. We can do something for God today. You don't understand. This world might trample me. This world might kill me. Yeah, but aren't you here for such a time as this? How can we keep running the buses when the price of diesel fuel has gone up so much? We're put here for such a time as this. That's why we're here. Because we're supposed to run the buses just like it's always been. Well, the King James Bible only doesn't preach anymore. I'm here for such a time as this. I'm here because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm here because I want God. I don't care if the world tramples me. Let me tell you something. Relationships in my life have gone to the wayside over this very thing. But I'm here for such a time as this. That's what God wants from you. Ray, do you know why you and Linda are here today? Because those babies needed somebody for such a time as this. If you would have been born 50, 60 years before you were, you wouldn't be here for the babies. I know that's a dumb thought, but you've got to think with your mind. Why are you here now? Because you've got something to do. You older folks, you better listen to me. We need you. We need you to not just sit and do nothing. We need you to not just sit and do nothing because my generation is pathetic. My generation is a group of people that don't want to work, don't want to do anything for God. They just want to sit and have everything brought to them. Your generation, some of you still walk down to the river for water. I dare say my generation could have a creek flowing through their house and would die of thirst because the internet wouldn't deliver it to their door. I worry about my generation because my generation is worth fighting for, but nobody's willing to fight for it. Oh, we'll just cast them off to the wayside. Let me tell you something. 40-year-olds can still do something today. We just have to have somebody to realize that they're supposed to do it. We talk all the time. I fear so much of what my babies are going to face. Believe me, that's what they're thinking about here. Mordecai, what are they going to do for my whole family? My whole family's going to be killed. I worry about what my babies are going to face. I really do. But understand this. My babies were put here at this time for such a time as this. God doesn't make any mistakes of when you were born either. God knew that we would need Carl McDaniel today. Carl, I don't need you to be onto the wayside. I don't need you to be passed. I need you to be here right now telling people of what it used to be like when you were a kid. I need to know. My generation needs to know. My generation needs to know of the things of God. My generation needs to know of the things of Christ. I don't want to go back and live in those days and throw up my hands in disbelief saying we can never do anything. Because that's what it is. We cry and pine and moan because we can't have the tabernacles built up like Billy Sunday did back in those years. Well, we'd never see that again. We'll never see it again because we won't do it. We'll have our tent set up for 3 days because we don't believe anybody will come. But I wonder if we would, in sackcloth and ashes, come before the king and say, "Oh, king, my nation needs something. Please let us have a vibrant, wonderful 8-day tent revival with the tent packed out and God honored. Oh, God, can we do it?" Yes, you can, because for such a time as this, you were put here. This preaching is not popular anywhere, really. But I'm so tired of people living on other people's faith. I'm so tired of Christians, oh, I need to read about the past guys, and you should. But please believe me, God's got you here for a purpose just as distinct as theirs. I'm going to tell you, this is the time. I don't care about a mega church. I care about Jesus Christ being exalted in a way that would be pleasing to Him. Verse 15, Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go. I've made a decision. Go. Gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and do this. Christian, this is it. Can I show you what it is? This is it. We don't take this seriously. You can say what you want to say, Christian, but you know I'm right. Go and fast ye for me. When's the last time? I'm going to stop right there for one second. When's the last time you fasted and prayed for your pastors? When's the last time that you forgot about your own life and came to the realization that we need Christ, we need the things of God more than we need anything else? You're going to get that whether you like it or not. You're going to get that through your church, through your pastors. And I'm telling you, in this day and age, it's not easy to stay on the right path. You need to fast and pray. Listen, your preacher is over there right now sick. We need to fast and pray for our man of God. He's here for such a time as this. We need to pray for him. Why? Because he's got something very important to do. Listen, Jordan, I've got to keep the light on for my children. I've got to keep the light on for your children. I've got to keep the light on. Hey, and you might think that I'm overstating. Let me tell you, Baptist preachers all across America are letting the lights go out because they won't stand. I wasn't commissioned to sit. I wasn't commissioned to tuck tail and let people tell me what to preach. I am commissioned to preach what God wants. I'm here for such a time as this. And we need to fast and pray. Listen, when we finally decide to put the tent up, we are going to absolutely, of a necessity, need fasting and prayer for that meeting. We are going to need fasting and prayer because Portage community needs that tent. They do. The people in this county need that tent. They need those meetings. They don't need some priest to walk up there and pontificate out of a book that he didn't write. We need men of God, preachers, to stand up with the book that God wrote and say, "Thus saith the Lord, for such a time as this." We are so afraid of the people today. Well, I don't want to get on the internet. I don't want to get on YouTube and have them talk about, oh, he's such a dogmatic against this and against, man, I think we're going to throw him in jail. They very well may. But I'm not going to stop preaching because of what they feel. I'm going to continue to preach what God wants. Because it may not be easy. You don't think persecution's coming? We better be about God's business now, because we're put here for that reason. That's why we're here today. That's why you're alive now. If God didn't need you here, you'd be gone. Right? God doesn't make mistakes. If he didn't need you here, Christian, to this day, you know what? Quit worrying about everything else in your life and worry about what God wants to do with you. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. Night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. I am glad to know of pastors that will fast while their people are fasting as well. I don't want you just to fast for me. I want to fast for us. How many times have you ever fasted for Bethel? How many times have I ever fasted for Bethel? That's good preaching for everybody. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go.
in unto the king, which is not according to the law.
Look at this. Look at this next statement. And if I perish, I perish. We could do worse. When's the last martyred American in America you've ever heard of? Oh, I'm not going around being foolish saying, please shoot me over this. But how many men would be willing to stand? How many godly ladies would be willing to stand in the face of that? This is a lady. This is a lady saying, I'm going to go for my people. I'm going to go before the king for my people, and if I die, I die. Because my people need me for such a time as this. Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. The chapter ends with the thought process of, my country needs me. You may not feel like you can do enough or do anything for your country, but don't you think that God knows you? Don't you think that God knows what you're capable of? Apart from God, we're not capable of a thing. So God's got to be involved. And if God gets involved, don't you think that God can take care of what's necessary? Don't you think that God can take care of what's before us? I'm not going to continue on in Esther this morning, but understand this, God takes care of it. The king takes care of it. It's amazing to me how we feel going into the soul winning. That's why we don't come to soul winning, because we're defeated before we ever come. I can take you to scripture where God says, go forward. Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll say it for you. I'll have the Holy Spirit speak through you. But you're so worried about getting a door slammed in your face, or so worried about what the people are going to say. I got to be honest with you, people just aren't that mean. I've had some, but it hasn't been that many. People, I must be scared. People don't come to the door when I knock. Which is fine. I understand. Hey, in this day and age, you can't come to the doors anymore. I understand it. I'm not even mad about it. But get this, there's been times enough where I have not been this soul winner. There's been times enough where I haven't shown up. But I'm going to tell you something. In my life, I'm here for this time, right now. That's why I'm here. I'm here today because Christ wants me to do something for him. By the way, I'm not the only one in this room that I can say that about. I could come and stand before each and every one of you and say, God's got you here for a reason still. If you're breathing air, God's got a job for you. God's got something in store for you. I don't know what it is, but God's got something in store for you to further his kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, we can't sit around and wait for that to come. We've got to be about God's business. We've got to be, okay, I can't get out and walk. Okay, but you can stay home and pray. You can stay home and fast. You can stay home and hold God's men up. You can stay home and write a letter. You can stay home and do a card. You can stay home and do something for God's people. God's got you here for something. And you'll hear this message and you'll go home unchanged. You'll hear this message and it won't matter. You'll hear this message and we'll go about our business. Why? Because we don't feel we can do anything anymore. That's why we don't. I'm not going to let the folks tell me that we can't have an 8-day tent revival. I'm not going to do it. Matter of fact, this is what I'm praying for, and you're not going to like this at all. I'm praying that we have 8 days, and I'm praying on the 8th day that we say we can't let this end. I'm praying that on the 8th day, people come and say, no, no, leave the tent up. We want some more. We want more of God. In this day and age, wouldn't it be nice to have more of God? More of God and less of the world? More of God and less of MSNBC and CNN? Good Lord, have mercy. How can you watch that for 7 seconds without having vomit? Wouldn't it be nice to have more of God, more of preaching, more of singing his praises, more of sitting under a tent? There's something about a tent. There's something about preaching in that tent. There's something about letting it fly. There's something about having God come down. There's something about it. Why don't we have it anymore? Because we say 3 is enough. 2 is enough. I wouldn't even rent the tent for 2. I wouldn't rent the tent for 3. I think that's pathetic. We work. And you need to work. Don't you dare skip work to come to church. Don't misread me there. But it sure would be nice if you get a job that wasn't on Sunday, but that's just a thought. But I'm going to tell you, when we have that tent revival, I hope and pray that you don't come and extinguish the Spirit of God that's there. I'm not talking for everybody. I'm talking for you. I love it. People come and say, please fill up my cup, and their cup is turned over. You know, that's tough to do. Well, if you don't preach about something that's nice and fuzzy, I'm not coming back. Well, you're probably not going to make it here long, because sin has run rampant, and we need you to stand against it. The queen goes in. I'm not even going to get to that part. We're all done right here. The queen makes a decision. And this is where we're at, Christian. It's you know, God came down for the missions conference. He really did. He really came down. I'm so proud of my kids. That song touched, is still, I still see the faces. Whatever, I don't care what you think. But that song touched my heart. I don't want it to be just another missions conference. I don't want it to be another message that I heard that moved my heart for 7 minutes. And then I went back and just lived my life all over again, the same as I was before. Esther could have said, no, Mordecai, I'm not going to go. But she made a decision. And the decision was, I'm going to go. The decision needs to be made, Christian. What are you going to do for God? When you get to that decision, do it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Phil, could you stand up and lead us in prayer?
Amen.